He's thinned out for sure.
You know, could you guys move up to the front? I feel lonely.
I know, you guys really are shivering. Everybody's saying that. I didn't think you heard me.
Okay, can we have your attention? We're going to reconvene now. I guess the votes have been counted, so I guess it's up to Mr. Pringle at this point in time. Thank you.
I would like to begin by thanking the poll watchers and the nominees and all the people who were involved in the counting of the votes. There were a number of questions, and we resolved the questions and worked our way through them to a conclusion that both candidates agreed that I could disclose. And the votes, as we tabulated them, the votes were 201 votes in favor of Jennifer Finazzo and 158 votes in favor of Mr. Nadek. That was the end result of the counting, the recounting, and the efforts of resolving the questions. So that's the outcome of the election, is Ms. Finazzo was successful in the outcome, Mr. Chair. So.
Thank you.
So the votes have been cast, the votes have been counted, the election outcome has now just been declared, so you're down to number 16 already.
Okay, do we have to declare the election by name and position or what?
Oh, we did, yes, sir.
Okay.
That's what I just did, and the tape is on, so it was captured by the tape. Yes.
Okay, very good. Okay. Public input. I guess at this point I'm going to ask if anybody's got any questions about the election. If not, we're going to continue on with the meeting. Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you for coming forward.
Crystal Beatstripe, what was the final count on? What was the final ruling on how many votes you get per acre? Do they have to be contiguous?
Sorry. The fine, but no thanks. there was a great deal of discussion about the contiguous votes. Ultimately, as you heard the spread, I believe the determination was that the outcome would not change, but a different way to count would have been to say that if, as an example, if John Smith owned parcel one, and it was 1.25 acres, and John Smith also by himself owned parcel five, and it was 1.25 acres, that the two parcels would be aggregated. That was a discussion that we had. What we did, and it is my understanding was historically done, is if there were two lots, because remember you're in a recorded water control subdivision, water control district subdivision, so you might have lot one and lot two next to each other. And if you combine the parcel ID numbers, the strap numbers on those two parcels together into one parcel ID number, then if one of those lots was 1.25 acres and the other one was 1.25 acres, they would be combined for voting purposes into 2.5 acres and get voted cast as three votes. So that's the difference, was we said if it's in the same parcel ID number, then it would be all the acreage aggregated together inside the parcel ID number. But there was a discussion about the fact that if the exact same person owns multiple lots, multiple parcel ID number, numbers in the district, then all of those would be aggregated together. In this instance, it did not change the, regardless of the two arguments, it did not change the outcome of the election.
We don't know that, but which way is the ruling?
The ruling is that it's by subdivision. The vote that I disclosed was by subdivision lot. So if it is, excuse me, by parcel ID lot, if the parcel ID number includes multiple lots, that parcel ID number could have a certain number of votes cast for that parcel ID.
That's why I want clarification, because that's not the way that I read the statute when I did it 3 years ago. That's not the way that I read it. I read it as aggregated all together, as many as parcels that you have, but I just wanted a clarification on how.
Yes, and I did commit to Mr. Nadig that I will do additional research on that, and if the outcome, based on the research, is that there should be a different application that we talked about, including additional specific instruction in the agenda that would clarify that point versus the point that the method that was used this year in saying that each parcel would have, each parcel ID number would have the votes assigned to it. So we are going to clarify that for next year, and I am going to do additional research.
Okay, I know that you just walked up here, but
can I just add to
just that? Addressing the board, I'm going to give you permission to talk.
So first
just
of all,
go ahead and hold it down so you can talk, okay?
First of all, congratulations, Jennifer, and enjoy the next 3 years. I didn't mean to laugh at that. Anyway, so let me put it this way. So I read the statute, I have it right in front of me, and it does talk about aggregating the acreage, and then that total gives you the number of meter votes. So this is how I read it. In the interest of time, in the interest of dinner, I agree to, and I will, this isn't, my position is, we're not following this. I will agree that we don't follow this. It's likely that the outcome would have been the same, but we can't know. Anyway, just to clarify the case, I'm wondering how I feel about it. So.
Okay. And that's consistent with what I said. I don't think I've said anything out of line, Mr. Nadig.
Did you do it both ways, just to see?
No, ma'am. It would take us a considerable amount of time, extra time, and the vote spread is the 201 votes to 158 votes, and if we apply, we applied the exact same methodology throughout. If we were to apply a different methodology, it would have to be applied throughout, and so there would be an impact on both sides, so that ultimately Mr. Nadig made the final decision and said, I will agree, and this is what I would agree to, but I don't agree to the methodology. And I told him, I'll look at the methodology, and if there's a different methodology to apply, we'll make sure to very clearly describe that methodology, and I will have a conversation with Mr. Nadig.
You should tell us all.
No. Yes, ma'am. It'll be
no,
in the
paper. No, I mean just when you get your findings together, so that we all know that it's appropriate.
Okay. Okay. Are we ready to move on?
Yep.
It's been a long day. Jennifer would like to make a comment.
Sorry.
No. Take your time.
David, thank you. Lastly, who holds the records of all the votes?
Well, they're public records.
Okay.
Yes.
They'll go via public records.
Yes. Okay, now moving on.
Oath of office.
Yep. So, Mr. Chairman, we're all the way down to...
The oath of office, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. You're down to the supervisor's oath of office. Thank you. your right hand, please, and repeat after me. I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially.
I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially.
Perform the duties.
Perform the duties.
Devolving upon me and my office.
Devolving upon me and my office.
As a supervisor of the San Carlos Estates Water Control District.
As a supervisor of the San Carlos Estates Water Control District.
In which I have been elected.
In which I have been elected.
And I will not neglect.
And I will not neglect.
Any of the duties imposed upon me.
Any of the duties imposed upon me.
By Florida law.
By Florida law.
Including Chapter 298 of the Florida statutes.
Including Chapter 298 of the Florida statutes.
Mr. Chairman, that satisfies the oath of office requirement.
Thank you very much. I guess the next thing on the agenda is the approval of the compensation for the Board of Supervisors.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, there is a provision in Chapter 298, in Section 298.14 of the Florida statutes, that says that the supervisors will not receive compensation for their service unless the landowners at the annual meeting determine to pay a compensation, which in no event may exceed $50 per day for the time actually engaged in work for the district and in attending sessions of the board. So, Mr. Chairman, in order for the supervisors to receive any compensation other than travel reimbursement and reimbursement of expenses, but to receive any compensation for their service, the landowners and the landowners meeting have to approve that compensation. It's been on the agenda in the landowners meeting in the past for the board, for the landowners to make that decision. That's why it's on the agenda this evening. And as I said earlier, with this being a landowner's meeting, action will have to come from a landowner in the form of a motion to approve compensation, whatever that compensation may be in the motion. It'll have to receive a second from a landowner. The supervisors are also landowners. I think Ms. Harder is also a landowner. Mm-hmm. Chanel is also a landowner. So any landowner can make a motion, can make a second, and then it would be to a vote of the landowner.
And it's not to exceed $50 per day per, so.
Yes, okay. And not exceed $50 per day for the time actually engaged in work for the district and in attending sessions of the board.
Okay, question that I do have, and maybe this isn't the time to bring it up, but if a board member goes to a meeting during the course of the month for the district, is that included for that supervisor as a $50 day?
It can be if that's what the landowners approve in their motion, yes, sir.
Well, I thought when you read it, it said $50 per day,
not to exceed
$50 per day. But I was just wondering if the approval of that made it so. So, therefore.
Yes, sir.
So that was the question.
Yeah. So the motion can say anything. The statute says in no event can the landowners approve more than $50 per day for the time actually engaged in work for the district and in attending sessions for the board.
I move that we continue that compensation for the current year.
So it's for every day that they work, or is it just for the meetings?
Well, the meetings are the days we work. So it's generally one day a month.
But the question I said was that where John went and met with the state representatives and stuff the other day, he spent his time and his car and his money to go to that meeting. The question I had, should that be approved? Now, personally, I think it's a very small amount of money to ask for what the return is if we achieve those goals. The only way that this district is going to quit having the taxpayers pay 100% for everything is to get our state representatives and stuff involved, go to FEMA and get the money back from them, which we have done and we are doing. We've just about got it all back. So that's my question too. So if it's...
So the motion, Mr. Chairman, can say, it can be a motion to approve $50 per day for the time of attending board meetings. That's in line with what Supervisor Salucci said. Or, in the alternative, it can be a motion to pay $50 a day, or something up to $50, but no more than $50 a day, for time actually engaged in work, such as meeting with state representatives and others. That's what you're talking about. The question is for the maker of the motion, what do you say?
My motion was to continue the compensation, which I believe, as of last year, was for attending meetings.
So that's the motion is to pay $50 a day for the days when the commissioners attend the board meetings.
That's what we currently have, that is what I am motioning to.
So that's the motion. The supervisor's motion. I said commissioners, I thought. So that would be the one day a week. Well, if we have a special meeting, it might be two.
So second motion.
The motion is on the floor, and you are the landowner, so you vote on it. So.
Is there a second?
Is there a second?
No. Can I say something honestly? Like, you guys very rarely, okay? You guys very rarely. You get nothing, and you put a lot of time into it. So if you guys did something during the week, I'm not opposed to paying you two or three times a month. What's $150 for all the work that you guys do? I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, for me personally as a landowner, it's really peanuts for what they bring to the table.
You want to make a motion?
I would love to make that motion.
There's a motion on the floor. That motion needs to be decided, and that motion cannot be decided until it receives a second.
A second.
So now, Mr. Chairman, you have a motion and a second. So you need to call the question on that of the landowners and see what
goes. Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
You may.
What is the alternative to tracking hours on days if it's not on a scheduled meeting?
Well, that
you
could...
If deciding what is a work day, what's not a work day, making sure that there's transparency in hours. Like, I don't think anyone thinks that it's bad to get compensated for extra work, but what is extra work? You know, coffee over dinner is, not work, right?
Yeah. I guess the question I would answer to you is that if it's an official meeting with a state representative, the mayor, the vice mayor, or vice chair, I'm sorry.
City manager,
mm-hmm. assistants, this battery's going dead.
Take mine. There you go. We'll swap it out.
That's one.
Assistant. Okay.
What? Hey, let's try this a third time.
Okay. Tell you what, they're all going dead. I guess this means
try this one.
Far too long. So, okay. We got one mic left. So, we would have to maybe define that out a little bit, but I tried to answer it by specifically bringing back documentation that you attended this meeting and you were there. I guess with that being said, and then, because there are meetings that I've been to and spent the best part of the day by the time you get done with it before you come back. And I've never had a luncheon meeting or a dinner meeting with anybody. I sympathize with your thoughts of that, but I don't think, and I know caution is always needing to be put in place. So if this board gets something approved today and a futuristic board reads it and says, oh, they meant this, I'm going out of town for the night. I got it. So the only thing is, by the time we take our day and go away from our whatever we were going to do on that specific day, we attend the meeting and we don't even get paid for our fuel for the car. And if we do have to go downtown Fort Myers, then we're paying for our lunch. And by the time we finally get back and you've spent the day. So with a little bit of respect to that, however you want to word it. And if you guys say no, then it's no. But the thing is, I think that I've been for this is in the past. After Hurricane Ian, I was once a week for 5 hours every meeting that I had with FEMA. And that was every single week, and you couldn't miss a meeting. And I was at every one of those. Peter DeBoz was volunteering his time. And Peter, for whatever reason, he can't even accept anything for his services. Doesn't want to accept anything. When they put in the time for FEMA, he wrote it down so the money could get donated back to the district. Ron Edenfield, of course, attended a number of those meetings, and I don't know if I've answered your question or got off target for you, and I'm sorry if I have.
No, I guess just not knowing what the impact is, and we're new here, what's the financial impact per year on increasing it from the aforementioned?
Probably, if you wanted to, you could put a cap on how many meetings a week. If you put down one meeting a week, that would be extraordinary. If you put down two meetings a month, that would probably be extraordinary. So the fact is, only thing that we were asking for was compensation for those meetings when they occur, as rare right now as they occur. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how much they're going to improve. So if you said, look, we're going to give you your compensation for your meetings that you have, and we're going to allow you one extra meeting a month that can be with any city officials or government officials with documentation. That's what I would say. So I don't know how else to document it for you, but that would be something.
To answer your question with specifics, there's three board members. We do 12 meetings. That's $600, $50 times 12. $600, three people is $1,800. Last year, I think we spent $19 or $2,000 because we had a budget meeting with three people. That's an extra $50, and I think one other meeting. So we've never gone past $1,900 to $2,000. So it's just because all of us just volunteer our time. Like last Wednesday when I met the state rep, 3 hours of my day, and I work for a living. I broke up my day to go because the rep said, I'll meet you at 11. So I had to go do that. I didn't even think about saying, should I get $50 or not? I just did it. So that's probably what we're talking about is we're not gonna turn down meetings just because we do or do not get $50 outside of our regular board meetings. It's just something some people think we should get paid for meetings because we're giving up our time. We all work for a living.
Right, but usually board members, they do give up their time. That's what they do.
You give up your time. It's their decision, not yours.
I know, I'm just saying. I'm not saying.
We have a motion. We have a second. We're going to vote.
Yeah, let's do a vote, people.
Okay. Just go ahead and vote on it however you want to go with that. And let's move forward. Motion's on the floor.
Yes, sir. So you just call the question of the land owners.
Okay. You guys need to take a vote. For it, raise your hands. Is that okay? That was for your motion. $50 a month for the meetings. Period. Correct? Okay. Then that carries. There's not enough people left.
No, but how many was it?
Wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you raise your hands again, please?
That's for just the $50 for the meeting?
Yes.
That's what they're voting for now.
That's not for if you go out of the board meetings for a meeting.
That's correct.
Just a limit? No,
well, we have to.
That's what I just said. If you wanted to change the vote, but you have to finish this one.
Vote no on mine if you want to change it.
If you would like to rebring it up, just vote no on his. Then we'll bring it back up. And yes, you can limit it to one meeting a month. You can limit it to one meeting a week extra if that's what you would like to do.
Let's vote
based on what he said.
Okay. What's on?
Say no, and then make another motion.
Okay, so everybody opposed to it, raise your hand, and then we'll bring it back.
Opposed to it.
Opposed to his motion.
Opposed to his motion.
Yeah, I'm opposed to his motion. Opposed to his motion.
To continue what we have done before, which is to pay for the board meetings, the Board of Supervisors meetings, which typically are one meeting a month. But on occasion, there's a special meeting or a budget meeting or something like that, which would be a second meeting, right?
Well, we've always done that.
That's right. That's what has always been done, is you've been paid for that.
So, everybody opposed to that, raise your hand. We already did the vote for it. If everybody, whoever wants to oppose it, raise your hand. How many do we have opposing it?
One.
And now make the new motion.
Yeah, that's oppose it. Ladies,
You're allowed to vote, Jen. Okay, the motion fails.
Okay.
Now make the new motion.
Now a new motion on the floor.
You make
I'll make the motion.
Here.
All right, maybe.
How about making a motion for new batteries?
Okay, yeah, make a motion for new batteries. I make a motion to be compensated $50 per day for your time advocating for this district in meetings that happen here monthly and annually, special meetings as well, and also meetings with proper documentation that you've attended on behalf of this district with elected officials in the government to make sure that we're in compliance, to learn new skills as and things of that nature. I would like to see them be paid $50 per meeting of the scheduled meetings, as well as with proper documentation of the meetings where they're advocating to enhance the services that are provided by this district. That's my motion.
And clarification, in the last 9 months, two special meetings occurred in 9 months. For one person. So that's $100 so far.
Okay, the motion, the motion's been seconded. I need the mic.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, the motion has been seconded. Now we're looking for a vote on the motion. Is that correct, Mr. Primer?
Yes, sir. And to clarify, the motion is to pay $50 a day for attendance at board meetings, special meetings, and meetings with other officials.
Elected. Correct.
With documentation.
With documentation.
With
yes.
documentation.
Correct.
Right?
Yes, that is correct.
All right.
Everybody in favor of that motion, please raise your hand.
Yeah, it's just those three.
Okay. Looks like the motion carries.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Okay. No.
No.
Has to be official business.
Well, that's official business.
No, you can't. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What was the question you asked?
No, I said it's official. If three of you get together, we
cannot get together.
It's an official meeting. That is an
official meeting.
No. No. Can't happen.
Sunshine laws.
Sunshine laws.
Sunshine laws prevent that.
And her motion was for government official.
And that was not intended to mean a meeting between us anyway.
No.
That was meant to be other government agencies that would benefit this district.
Yeah. And that was why I clarified with documentation as well.
Yes.
Yeah. It should all be official.
It won't be an
illegal meeting in violation of the sunshine.
Okay, that has been voted on. The motion is carried. Let's move on. Any other public input from the landowners meeting? If not, we're going to adjourn. So that's where we stand.
Wait a minute.
We'll get you covered.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Crystal Dietstrack. Just one question about.
Go ahead. I need you to speak up, though.
Crystal Dietstrack. Just one question about today's events. I was wondering, how does reading last year's audit report satisfy this year's landowner meeting? How does it satisfy the requirements if all we did was, if you were supposed to read this year's audit report, how does reading last year's audit report satisfy this year's requirements?
This year is not completed and we don't have an audit report for this year.
Yet. Understood, but the requirement is that you're supposed to read the audit report for this year.
This
right?
year there isn't an audit report to read.
So
for next year.
The year isn't over till the last day of the month, so you couldn't be possibly reading that one. And normally this meeting isn't this late in the month.
But more importantly, the state law is the audit is done during the next fiscal year for the previous fiscal year. That's just how government accounting works. So I think is it April? We have to get it out?
We start in December.
We start in December. It's got to get out by April.
Well, if we're talking about current year, we're still in current year, fiscal year 23-24. So, I mean, the audit that was available this year was based off of last year. So we read the most current audit.
So we didn't read that audit last year. That's what we're saying.
Well, fiscal year 22-23 doesn't become available until fiscal year 23-24. I mean, you can't complete an audit until the year is finished. Our year is not finished until Monday. So there's no audit
and then. So I don't, then I don't understand why it's a requirement to read something that's definitely not going to exist at the time of the meeting.
It's
a
requirement.
So can I answer this? Can I answer this? So we get audited every year. So it starts around December, it finishes in April, and he gives a report. But we're always a year behind. That's how we do
That's
things.
That's just a government accounting.
It's just
That's,
a government
you
accounting.
Can't control that.
So we did the audit for last year. Once the end of the year was September 30th or 31st of last year, all of those records were audited. It started in December, it ended in April, and then that the report was done by the auditor. So you can't do next year until the beginning, you see? So now we're going to start in December for this year ending in September 31st.
So what I don't understand is saying, I'm going to read this year's audit report, which we don't have, but I'm going to read last year's audit report.
So you're questioning the wording.
The wording.
You're not questioning
okay.
the report.
Correct. Yeah.
Sorry about the wording. I don't have an answer for it.
That's what was confusing to me, is to say, I'm going to read this year. I would normally, at this point in time, I would read this year's audit report, but we don't have it yet. It's not finished. So I'm going to read last year's audit report and then give an update.
Item 5 says, read last audit.
No, but that's not what Mr. Pringle said at the time to begin the meeting. Right?
Okay.
What did I say? Something very similar to what Mr. Pringle just said.
You said this year's audit
report. Which is the audit report that we have is the audit report that was completed by, it has to be completed, I think, by June 3rd. The audit for last year's fiscal year has to be completed by this June 30th. So it's this year's, it's the last audit that we have. It's the audit that is prepared this year for last year's fiscal time period. And I thought when I talked about the fact that it was over that time period, I think I said a number of occasions that it was for the fiscal year ending.
Yes, you did that. But
September 3rd.
What was confusing to me was to say, we don't have this year's audit report for me to read. So I'm going to read last year's.
Sorry,
that's what that was confusing to me.
Caused that confusion.
Okay.
But we don't have, there's no way that we can have an audit for this year.
Right. No,
well, that's a good point to clarify.
Yeah,
I agree
good.
With that. That's fine.
Because that was confusing me.
Yes.
How good was it when it's 12 months old?
Sorry to.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for bringing that up because that'll help us correct some things. Okay. Anybody else have anything, or we're going to go for adjournment? We're going to go right into our next board meeting.
Okay.
Okay, this meeting is adjourned.